And today we're going to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 7, Text 41, and we'll also do 42. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kitahmayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpaturu Vyascha Kripasindubhya Ivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Text 41. Yadartha iha karmani vidvan manyasa krinnaraha garutyato viparyasam Amogham vindate palam. Yadartaiha karmani vidvan manya sarkrinara karotyato viparyasam. Amogham vindate palam. Yadartaiha karmani Vidvan manyasikam nara karotyato viparyasam amogham vindate palam. Yadartaiha karmani vidvan manyasikrin nara karotyato viparyasam Amogam vindate palam. Nidartaya karmani vidvan manya nasabhaitanara karotyato vipayasam amogam vindate palam. Yat of which arate for the purpose in this material world karmani many activities in factories, industries, speculation, and so on. Vidvat advanced in knowledge mani thinking himself to be Asakrit, again and again. Naraha, a person. Karoti, performs. Ataha, from this. Viparyasam, the opposite. Amogham, unfailingly. Vindate, achieves. Palam, result. Translation, a materialistic person thinking himself very advanced in intelligence, continually acts for economic development. But again and again, as enunciated in the Vedas, he is frustrated by material activities, either in this life or in the next. Indeed, the results one obtains are inevitably the opposite of those one desires. Purport. No one has ever achieved the results he desired from material activities. On the contrary, everyone has been frustrated again and again. Therefore, one must not waste his time in such material activities for sensual pleasure, either in this life or in the next. So many nationalists, economists, and other ambitious persons have tried for happiness, individually or collectively, But history proves that they have all been frustrated. In recent history, we have seen many political leaders work hard for individual and collective economic development, but they have all failed. This is the law of nature, as clearly explained in the next verse. Okay, so we'll read the next verse because they're related. Sukhaya dukkha mokshaya sankalpa yakarmanya sadapnoti yaya dukkham anihaya sukhavrita. Translation: in this material world, every materialist desires to achieve happiness and diminish his distress, and therefore he acts accordingly. Actually, however, one is happy as long as one does not endeavor for happiness. As soon as one begins his activities for happiness, his conditions of distress begin. Purport: every conditioned soul is bound by the laws of material nature as described in Bhagavad Gita, Prakrite Kriyamanani Gunai Karmani Sarvashaha. Everyone has achieved a certain type of body given by material nature according to the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hridesha Arjuna Tishtati Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani Yantra Rudhani Mayaya. Quote, the Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy, end quote. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul, is present in everyone's heart, and as the living entity desires, the Lord gives him facilities with which to work according to his ambitions in different grades of bodies. The body is just like an instrument by which the living entity moves according to false desires, and thus suffers the pangs of birth, death, old age, and disease in different standards of life. Everyone begins his activities with some plan and ambition, but actually, from the beginning of one's plan to the end, one does not derive any happiness. On the contrary, as soon as one begins acting according to his plan, his life of distress immediately begins. Therefore, one should not be ambitious to dissipate the unhappy conditions of life, for one cannot do anything about them. Ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. Although one is acting according to false ambitions, he thinks he can improve his material conditions by his activities. The Vedas enjoin that one should not try to increase happiness or decrease distress, for this is futile. One should work for self-realization, not for economic development, which is impossible to improve. Without endeavor, one can get the amount of happiness and distress for which he is destined, and one cannot change this. Therefore, it is better to use one's time for advancement in the spiritual life of Krishna consciousness. One should not waste his valuable life as a human being. It is better to utilize this life for developing Krishna consciousness without ambitions for so-called happiness. It's a good set of verses, huh? It's just the way it is that those who try for material happiness, they get the opposite, they get suffering, and those who don't try for it, they actually get happiness. It's like one of those things about the material world. Of course, I mean, for devotees and those who have kind of a distressful situation, this makes sense, these ideas. Of course, if you have a nice plan and things seemingly seem to be going really well for you in your life, it's very difficult to agree with this. Because you're like, well, I'm making a plan, it's going according to my plan, I'm getting money, so many pleasures in life, got a nice family. my experience is different than what this verse is saying. So for those people, it's more difficult to get this message, and usually they have, you know, most of the time they have to, you know, go through something. I mean, ultimately, all their plans are going to be frustrated by death anyway. So even if they do have a quote-unquote materially successful and quote-unquote happy life, well, they're going to have to die, and then who knows what their next life is going to be. So I'd say there's at least eight problems with material happiness. Eight problems. These are things that this is the list that I have going. I'm sure there's others. There might be more or different angles of these things, but I got eight. So, anyone have any? What's the issue with material happiness or trying to pursue material happiness? Temporary. Okay, that's one of them. One of the ones on my list. It's temporary. Bhagavad Gita says that these material happiness, these pleasures, have a beginning and an end. Therefore, wise men do not participate in them. Okay, seven more to go. Once you get it, it is not what you expected. Okay, so then you're never satisfied. So anyway, it's slightly different, but close enough. And then another way that I was spinning that was that you're never, especially with this you're never satisfied part, is that the more you engage in sense gratification or trying to pursue material happiness, the more difficult your senses are to control. And therefore, you become more and more less satisfied. Anyway, okay, so six more. There's obstacles. There's always obstacles in getting material happiness. Not easy. You got to do a lot of stuff. You know, you get health problems, you get, you know, threefold miseries of material nature, stress. Anyway, so many obstacles to it. Okay, good. Yeah.
Trying to satisfy material desires is like trying to put out a fire by pouring fuel on it.
Yeah, that kind of goes along.
Desires just increase more and more.
Right, so that kind of goes along with what I just said, that the more you do it, the more you're senses become out of control, because the more you want certain things and you become less satisfied. That's all in the same kind of category. Okay, we got three on my list of eight. Reactions? Yeah, your life, you get reactions. And when you get reactions, then your life becomes more, you know, complicated. You know, your life becomes more complicated, or there's another word that I had, but anyway, more or less like that. Yeah, you get, because of all these fruitive reactions to all the things you did, your life becomes more complicated. Okay, that's four. We're halfway there. It distracts you from the goal of self-realization. Okay, I guess that could be like kind of an overall, you know, all these things, all these problems with material happiness, they kind of all have that effect of distracting us from the overall goal. It's not on my list, so, I mean, it's there for sure, but I'm not going to count it. Hmm? That's what Steve said, that's what we said already. Okay, we've exhausted our brainstorming. Huh? Just okay, you become attached. That wasn't on my list, at least explicitly, but, you know, maybe there's a ninth one. You become attached, and that ultimately leads to suffering because that you can't have that thing forever. Fear of losing that thing. Okay. Okay, so I'm going to go through the other four or so that I had on my list. One, it's outside of our control, you know, because material happiness is outside of us, therefore it's outside of our control. So that's a problem with it. You know, whereas if you're going for spiritual happiness, that is inside of us, and we have a little bit of say in that. Another one is that it is... Okay, we said those three. Okay, so then other problems with material, pursuing material happiness or sense gratification, is that our senses are very limited in what they can, how much happiness they can really get from material happiness. They're limited. You can only enjoy so much. One sense, our senses are limited. So, and then the other problem is that we have limited resources with which to enjoy. So a good example of this is like the oil, like, you know, oil, using oil for economic development or something. You know, there's only so much oil on the planet, and there's so much strife and conflict and wars and stuff over who has control over this oil, and therefore who can enjoy more. So it's like limited resources, and it leads to a conflict because there's not enough to fulfill everybody's greed. Well, you can't keep eating continuously. One gulab jamun's great, another one's okay. Third one is, it might still be okay, but you're starting to lose taste. Fourth one, it's getting a little disgusting. Fifth one, it's gross. Any more than that, you're just going to puke. So you can only enjoy so much. And then the resources are limited, so even if we could enjoy more, our resources are limited that we can't. You know, we're in such a situation where we can't. It's not possible. Then another one is that it leads to objectification or depersonalization. So now if all of you're thinking about is trying to pursue material happiness or sense gratification, then immediately you start to see things as objects for your sense gratification. You know, so like sometimes, you know, women are always, sometimes they're considered to be objects of sense, like sex, objects for of sex or something. And then people sometimes start seeing women that way, and that's a problem, or anything enjoyable. So it leads to this objectification or depersonalization. And I think there was one more. I can't remember the last one. But that was a pretty good list. I hope we're all convinced now that we shouldn't be pursuing material happiness or sense gratification. It's a bad thing. So even with this nice comprehensive list, we still pursue it. We still pursue material happiness. Also, there's some okay, if you're not convinced yet by all this list, is anybody not convinced? Okay, Steve, we're gonna continue. We're gonna keep trying to convince you that material happiness is not what we should be pursuing. Prabhupada gives a number of examples and analogies to highlight this point that material happiness, trying to pursue material happiness, is futile. That it's ultimately going to lead in frustration, and it's a waste of time. So, and that when you even when you're trying to pursue material happiness, there is no happiness there. You know, like even if you so-called are getting it, there is no happiness there. So Prabhupada gives at least three analogies to describe this point. So, oh, you know one of them? The mirage in the desert. Okay, That might work. Yeah, the mirage in the desert. Those weren't the three that I was thinking of, but that could be one. So material happiness is like a mirage in the desert. You see it, it looks like it's there, but it's not really there. It's not real. Okay, that's a good one. So there's three more. So another one is that material happiness is like eating sweet rice with a little bit of sand in it. So it seems good, sweet rice, but then just that little bit of sand just makes the whole thing, ugh. So that's the problem with material happiness, is that we're getting it, but while we're getting it, we're experiencing so much other miseries and suffering that the whole thing is kind of blah. So one time, Roman Padmaraj was giving class, and he was describing the GBC meetings. You know, he's described that the GBC meetings were like, you know, he was describing this idea of material happiness being like sweet rice with sand in it. So then he said that the GBC meetings were like eating dirt, because, you know, they're not fun. So he said they're eating dirt, they're like eating dirt. And then he said, with sand in it. So it makes it really, really bad. Anyway, so that's another analogy. Another analogy is that, are you getting more convinced, Steve? Are you getting more, at least a little convinced? No? No? Not yet? Okay. Oh, we got two more shots. Four more shots. You're going to go down by the end of this class. At least your conceptions will, hopefully. So then another example is the camel. Camel eating thorns. I'm sure we've heard that many, many times. So the camel's eating thorns and he thinks it's so tasty and enjoyable. But really what he's thinking, but really what's happening is that when he's eating the thorns, his mouth is getting poked and pricked, and all of a sudden his blood starts coming from his mouth and he's really enjoying his own blood. So that's the kind of enjoyment that material happiness is like. It's like, you know, you're enjoying, but really you're suffering because it's like your own, you know. So then there's another example. The what? Okay, yeah, that's another one. I wasn't thinking of that, but perhaps that could work. Like, an insect is thinking, oh, I'm going to enjoy by going into this light, and zap, dies. You know, it's a pretty stark example, but it's not so subtle, so it's not so, you know, doesn't convince us as much, because we're not bugs. And we're still alive, right? So another example that Jai Jagannath likes to give always is fish. What about fish? I see. Okay, that's a good one. So the fish going for like the worm on the hook. He gets the worm, but oh, the hook gets him. So that's a good example. So another example is when you're sitting down, you just get your plate of prasadam. It's like the best preparations you've ever wanted or dreamed of. All kinds of sweets and everything is there. You know, you're really, anyway, somehow you're just really about, really eager to honor this prasadam or food, eat this nice meal or something. But then there's this like big sharp axe that's swinging above your head on a thread which is coming apart. Are you going to be able to enjoy this meal if you're in such a circumstance where you got this big axe that can chop your head off swinging above your head and you're trying to enjoy this meal? Are you going to be able to do it? No. But that's the same situation we're in now. We're trying to enjoy in this material world, but we got this big axe of death that can come at any minute. That's really our situation. So there's no happiness here. So, convinced yet? No? He wants one. I got two more. Well, one more. Maybe two more. So then that was to highlight that there is no real happiness even when you're trying for material happiness. So then there's some examples that Prabhupada gives to highlight the point that there's so much endeavor to try to get material happiness, and you can't even really get it. I guess it's more along the same lines. So then he sometimes gives the example of going to the moon. You know, here we endeavored so hard to go to the moon, and we've spent billions of dollars to go to the moon, and we can't even take advantage of it. Most people can't even take advantage of it. So let's say they ended up going to the moon or whatever. So what? You just spent billions of dollars going there, and you can't even go there, or you can't even enjoy it or anything. So it's a bunch of endeavor for hardly any result. And then another example that Prabhupada gives is enjoying milk. So, you know, trying to get milk. If you want to enjoy milk, you have to go through so much endeavor to have, you know, the facilities to be able to take care of cows, a committed team to protect cows for their entire life. And it's like a huge operation just to get a little milk. And so if you want to enjoy that milk, you have to do all these other things to be able to do it. And if you have the consciousness that I want to enjoy this milk, then it's going to seem like a big burden because it's not a very efficient system to get milk, you know, because cows and bulls require a lot of resources, land, and they require a lot of care, and it's a big operation. It takes many men, many resources, lots of huge endeavor just to get a little milk, especially if you want to get, you know, milk properly. So we should really having proper consciousness. If we have the consciousness of I want to enjoy this milk, it's going to seem like a big endeavor and it's not going to be worth it. But if you have this consciousness that I'm trying to please Krishna by offering him nice milk, then all this endeavor that goes into protecting cows and stuff, it becomes worth it because you're doing it in the proper consciousness. You know, the same thing with deity worship. If we don't have the proper consciousness, doing, you know, deity worship is a big operation. It's so much good. We all probably have first-hand experience, at least if not directly doing it, but just indirectly knowing what's going on to, you know, maintain certain standards for the deity worship. It's a lot. And if you don't have the proper consciousness that we're doing this for the pleasure of Krishna, then it can very quickly seem like a burden. So anyway, those are all the analogies and examples that I have. So if you're not convinced yet, I'm not going to be able to convince you.
I'm a little more convinced.
Now.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay, good.
I thought of another example, too.
All right. Okay,
I think I've heard Prabhupada give this example of, like, a man drinking really, really hot sugarcane juice. It's burning his mouth, but it's so sweet that he wants to keep drinking, but he just keeps burning his mouth.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good one. Or you could say the same thing about any kind of big, hot, spicy thing. You know, it just literally just burns your mouth. Like, there's nothing more to it than that, but then that sensation is what people like, I guess. I can't stand it, but I guess some people get a thrill out of it. Learn to love misery. That's right. That's right. Yeah. They're just so accustomed to it that that's all they know. And, you know, somehow they get accustomed to it where it actually, like, they like it in a weird sense. And then they keep putting themselves in these situations where their lives are always full of misery and distress because they're just, that's how they like to exist. And it's, you know, it's miserable. And they'll even say it's miserable. But they get this. They keep doing it because there's like some kind of sick pleasure to that. Of course, we're in the same category. It's not like I'm not talking about anybody but myself, or you know. Okay, so what's said here is that so we shouldn't strive for material happiness, we should go for self-realization, spiritual happiness. Because if you endeavor for spiritual happiness or self-realization, even though you might be doing so many, you might be working harder potentially for spiritual happiness than you would be for material happiness. But when you're working for spiritual happiness, there's no there's no loss. Actually, you feel better about it. It doesn't have all these problems that go along with the material happiness. So anyway, one time Jayananda Prabhu was asked, "Are you happy?" Jayananda Prabhu, famous Prabhupada disciple, said, "Are you happy?" And then he just responded, "I don't know. I don't really have time to think about that." Because he was so busy working very hard to please Krishna and Prabhupada that basically he was saying, "I'm so absorbed that, of course I'm happy. I'm so happy that I don't even have time to think about it, whether I'm happy or not. It's just kind of an irrelevant thing to think about." So if we're endeavoring for spiritual happiness, that's when we can actually be happiness. Or rather, here it says, if you stop endeavoring for material happiness, that's when happiness comes. That's true. But in order to stop endeavoring for material happiness, you really have to endeavor for spiritual happiness. So, that's it. Anyone have anything they'd like to add to this discussion? Nope. Okay. Oh, yeah.
So what if somebody took this verse kind of like, okay, I agree that I agree that if I just seek my own happiness, that I won't be happy, I'll be miserable. But I don't think that means that I have to work for God's happiness. If I just work for the happiness of others, I'll get the same result. I'll get happiness naturally by not thinking about my own happiness, just thinking about the happiness of others.
Yeah, there actually is a happiness there. One of the characteristics of the mode of goodness is that one of the shackles is the feeling of happiness. Knowledge, that's one of the categories of the mode of goodness, is that it's, characterized by a sense of knowledge, and then happiness, peacefulness. So when you're doing activities like altruistic work, philanthropy, building hospitals, helping people, there is a sense of happiness to that. And it's real. It's the happiness in the mode of goodness. And it's nice, for those of you who've done these kind of things. There is some happiness there. And it's actually better than any other kind of lower form of happiness, like just raw sense gratification or anything like that. And Krishna does say in the Bhagavad Gita that doing stuff like that is actually better. It gives this whole hierarchy of things that, first just be completely absorbed in hearing and chanting and stuff about me. And that's the highest. And if you can't do that, okay, then, what is it, work for me? Regulative principles of bhakti. Then if you can't even do that, then you can work for me. You just work, but just offer all the results to me. And if you can't do that, at least work for, some humanitarian, do some philanthropy or something, not so that you're not absorbed in yourself. In one sense, it's encouraged. It's like a step in the right direction, because at least you're getting out of your selfish sense gratification and happiness, and you're helping others. But still, there's a problem with that. It's not the best, because it's still under the modes of material nature. It's still in the mode of goodness. And the thing with the modes of material nature is that they're constantly competing against each other. So right now, you might be in the mode of goodness, and you might be experiencing happiness by doing all this humanitarian philanthropy work, building hospitals, wells, planting trees and stuff. But because it's in the mode of goodness, the modes of nature will shift and situations will change, and the modes of nature which are influencing you will change, and you won't be able to stay experiencing that kind of happiness for very long. The only way you'll be able to stay experiencing that kind of happiness is if there's a spiritual component to it, transcendence, pure goodness, where you're trying to work for the pleasure of Krishna. And you might be doing similar things, like helping other people. You might even be building hospitals or planting trees or doing stuff. But the consciousness is different. And then if you have that kind of consciousness, you transcend the modes of material nature. Therefore, you can continue that. forever. But if you have no conception of God or spiritual life and you continue to only do those kind of activities in the mode of goodness that lead to happiness, it won't last. It's still temporary. There's still those defects to it. So, okay. Anything else? Okay, we'll end here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Today is Vamana Dev. Well, tomorrow is the appearance day of Lord Vamana Dev. And so I guess we're fasting today for it. Half day fast, and then we're also, it's Ekadashi, so tomorrow I guess we get to feast. I think that's how it works.